In the mid-1990s, when I had just been assigned to the seminary at Notre Dame, I was the assistant superior, and one of my jobs as assistant superior was to manage the housekeeping staff and the cooking staff. And while they had taught me many things about preaching and scripture and theology at the seminary, they had not really taught me much about management. So I decided to take some seminars, and so I started taking some seminars on management, and I went to one day, and at the end of the day, they had a panel of business leaders who were very successful. And there was one business leader who, after their panel exchange, was asked a question. And the question came from the audience, and the question was, what characteristics do you look for someone that you have on one of your teams? And this man, who highly successful, high-tech company that has all kinds of great products out there, said, well, I'll tell you one thing I look for sure. I want that person to have had at least one really big failure. And I thought that was surprising, and I think the audience did too, because people asked follow-up questions about it. And he said, no, really. He said, if somebody has had at least one really big failure, first of all, you know that they've risked something. Second of all, you know that they've learned something about their limitations and how they need to work with other people, and there's a humility about them. And he said, I just find it very valuable to have someone who's had a really big failure, see how they recovered from it, and to be part of the team. And it made a lot of sense in a lot of ways. Thomas was somebody in our tradition. We even have a phrase that we call Doubting Thomas. In some ways, we think of him as a failure. He failed to believe in the resurrected Christ. He failed to believe in the witnesses of all his most trusted friends who were in the room. But what I want to argue today, or want to put before you today, we have to give Thomas some credit. And the credit is, at least he knew what to look for. Thomas, in deciding what would be the mark of the resurrected Christ, knew what the resurrected Christ would look like. That he would still bear the wounds, the mark of the wounds in his hands and the mark of the wounds in his side. That even in his glory, Christ would still have those there. Thomas is a realist, and he was there. He knew what had happened, and there was no way to deny that. He knew it wasn't some kind of special effects makeup that they'd done, and he knew that it wasn't some kind of dream that you wake up from and all of a sudden find you're back in Oz or back in Kansas and everything is fine. He went through this. He knew it was real, and he knew those marks would be there. And somehow he also knew that just because the marks of Jesus' crucifixion, which remember were marks of persecution, they were marks of shame, they were marks of pain and suffering, just because those were there, it didn't take away from the glory that was his because of the resurrection. In fact, it added to it. Because he had been through all that he had, he still bore those wounds, that he had risen to come before them in friendship and to say three times, we heard it three times today, peace be with you. Thomas knew what to look for, and when he finally did see Jesus and saw the marks that he had been looking for, it was a wonderful thing. It was a very beautiful thing. Sometimes in our lives, we can look at our past, and we probably all have things that we aren't proud of, probably all have mistakes, maybe even have what we would call a major failure in our life. And sometimes we'd like to tuck those away and pretend as though they never happened, pretend that they weren't part of our life, pretend as though somehow it was just something that almost like it happened to somebody else. But sometimes those very things, the things that we're not proud of, the things that are mistakes, become the things that reveal God's glory. Because of the way that people recover from them, the ways that God still reaches out to us and says, peace be with you, the way that God reaches out to us and says, your sins are forgiven, the way that God reaches out to us and still over and over sends grace into our lives. It's so important that when we have those kinds of wounds, when we have those kinds of things that happen, when we have the crosses and nobody wants them, and we sure should not seek them, but when we have them in our lives, some things are really important. Those times when we have a failure or mistakes. One is that we that we honor our experience and know what's there, like Thomas honored the experience that he had and knew what was there. Second of all, in our doubt, in our questioning, to continue to look for God. Note that Thomas didn't say, I'll never believe in the resurrection. He only said, I'll only believe if. There was an openness. And in our doubt, we have to pray that the Spirit will keep us open. And then thirdly, in our doubt and in our grief that and in our questioning, that we can rely on the experience and the witness of trusted individuals. That we can rely on the experience of others. And that's why from time to time in appropriate settings, it's important to witness to our faith. If there's somebody that you want to, that you think that's searching, and there's somebody that's searching in your life, and you know that they might find what they're looking for in the church, the way to reach it is to witness. Wait for the right moment, the window of opportunity, and witness to what God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit have done for you in your life. And then as searchers, when we come to those times that we're searching, to look for the witness of others, the witness of our friends and family, the witness of tradition, the witness of scriptures, the witness of liturgy, and put that all together and listen for the ways that God comes. If we don't listen to the wisdom of others, if we don't listen to others' experience, then we are doomed to make even bigger failures if we don't learn from the failures and the mistakes and the searching of others. I was working on a film set once when I was in graduate school for film, and I was working in the lighting crew, and we were at lunch, and there were a couple of kids, and they were talking big and this stuff, and they were talking about using drugs, and I realized later that they were just trying to bait me into saying something. I don't wear a collar on set, but they knew I was a priest, and so at one point, the guy says, you know, I've been thinking of trying heroin. And I said, oh, I hope you're not serious. I mean, I worked with people who are addicted. Please don't do that. He said, whoa. He said, dude. He said, have you ever tried it? And I said, well, no, but I... He said, whoa. He said, if you haven't tried it... He said, I don't think anybody should tell anybody not to do anything unless they've tried it first themselves. How can you argue with logic like that? So lunch ended, and we went back to work, and he was watching me. He plug in some lights, and there's a way that you can plug in lights where you can do a lot of damage if you don't balance the lines and things. And so I knew he was watching, and I was about ready to plug in a very big light into a place that could have caused a lot of damage. And I was just doing it, and he said, ho! He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm plugging in this light. He said, no, do you know what will happen? He said, it'll explode. And I said, have you ever tried it? If we don't learn from the experience and the witness of others, we can do a lot of damage in our lives and in the lives of others. Thomas, from that moment of doubt, became one of the strongest believers in the whole tradition. By tradition, he went off to India. Maybe Father Sebastian wouldn't be with us now if it weren't for St. Thomas. But it's because of his doubt and because of his belief that he became one of the most powerful witnesses to the faith. And that's what often happens with people who doubt. They become those who believe the strongest and are the most committed. Let us pray that in this Easter season, we might listen to the witness of others and give witness to others, that we might believe and trust it, that the Holy Spirit will help us cooperate with grace to become strong believers, strong witnesses, and strong apostles for Christ in the world.